Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sandspence Radio, being good at things is for cowards.
Welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Tom.
I'm Demi. Ow, my fingers.
You can't know, it's just Demi. We can retake that.
And today we're talking about Fallout 76 with friends and other games. So, when I played Fallout 76 the first time, I said it was terrible, but maybe it would get better when I played it with friends. And I have played it with friends, and it hasn't improved. So, I played it with friend of the show, Adam. The only real benefit was that I got annoyed at Adam, and he got annoyed at me when we played it, because we have very different styles of playing a game like that. So, for me, right, because the game is boring and I can't be bothered collecting anything or doing any of the side stuff. I don't know about you guys, right? But when you're playing like a Skyrim or like a Fallout, do you get excited about collecting knickknacks?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes.
Every one of my characters has had an extensive bowl collection that they've never touched or set up, but they just walk around carrying 30 kilos of bowls, plates and spoons.
I want to not reiterate the other word that I can't think of.
Yeah, to
clarify that I don't like collecting, but I do it on other people's characters.
Ah.
Put all of their stuff in a box and then fill them with cabbage. Mm.
No, see, that's great.
Yeah.
Because that's like a prank almost.
It's fun. It's good.
But I, what about you, Zane?
I don't like collecting, but I do like giving my adopted son and or daughter like weapons that they should not have.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's about my only kind of collecting I do. So my Skyrim daughter has a wonderful sword collection.
When I played Skyrim, my favorite way to play it was have one piece of clothing, one dagger, and nothing else. That was me. As like minimal as I could go. So when I play with Adam, Fallout 76, all he's doing, when we're trying to do a quest together, all he's doing is like we stop in a barn where I've got to log onto a computer for whatever reason. And then I'm like, whoa, and I'm off to the next thing. But he doesn't appear for ever because he's spending all of his time in the barn collecting glue and stuff like that. And I just find that so boring. So unfortunately, when I'm playing Fallout 76 with friends, because we've got such different styles, I'm actually not playing Fallout 76 with friends. He's just in my world.
It was very fun to watch you guys play, and then Adam would be like, all right, we've got to do this mission and start, I don't know, fighting a mutant.
Mm.
And then he's like, I need help. Jackson, where are you? Jackson, where are you? I'd look over to your screen, and you would be miles away trying to climb a hill.
Yeah, well,
just jumping your entire screen filled with a single texture.
I had to get high up to the next area. And also, when you are with friends, and because you've been playing it a lot as well.
Yeah,
Demi.
I did play it a lot. I've given up because I think it is a garbage inside a butt. But I was having a very good time. I mainly just like made a really cool house.
I just
really liked my house. It had like a plank to walk on. It had a couple stories, but it just sort of, I didn't have any idea about camp placement, so all the walls kept getting eaten by crabs. And
okay.
So I would come home and be like, oh, guys, there's just a crab in my lounge room with just broken wood everywhere.
When you were playing, did you encounter many other players? Did you, like, interact with
them? A couple people found me.
Yeah, yeah.
I tweeted and stuff, and that was fun. It was fun talking to them, but every single mission we tried to together was just glitched to all hell. We just couldn't finish anything, so we kind of just found other people and squatted around them. Just chase them around. They're like, what are you doing? We're like, nothing. Just squatting next to them.
Yeah. Working on my glutes. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even when you are playing with other people, it's like, it doesn't make the game any better because I guess it's still Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're experiencing the glitches together and that's...
Yeah, did you ever experience different weather? Because me and Adam got that heaps. He'd be like, it's raining. And I'd be like, it most definitely is not.
Oh, no, I never encountered any weather.
It's
perfect. Oh, the only weather I really encountered was crab. So much crab, always crab, never not crab.
And also what was annoying, and maybe this is just playing with Adam, is that, like, you know, you're roaming around the wasteland or whatever, and it'll be like, hey, here's a little mission you can do, and you can fight seven waves of guys or whatevs, and, you know, and you'll get nothing, but you can do it if you want. Adam would always run off and do those things when I played that game like I wanted it to be over. So I'm like, if I can just do this quest as quickly as possible with learning as little lore as imaginable, then I'll do that. So that was frustrating. He also didn't want to come with me to explore areas, and that annoyed me. Like, there was an area full of...
Do you guys, like, we need to get Adam in here to complete this couple's counseling
and then
just let you each have one, because we're only getting one side of the argument.
Yeah, I'm realizing slowly that my complaints aren't with Fallout 76, they're just with Adam.
Yeah, I tried to play this with a friend, and I realized that both the game is bad and he wasn't a friend.
One thing that did annoy me is, this is not about Adam, this is about the game.
Yeah. Is that the game has this dickhead player called Adam. Yeah. Sorry, I swore.
So there's this area called, like, the White Something Manor that you can go to. And I'd heard that there was, like, a faction I could join there. So I wandered up there and it was full of really high level enemies. And look, again, not to go back to Adam, but he didn't join me. He's like, I don't want to fight high level enemies. I don't want to keep dying. And I'm like, well, you're heaps of fun, aren't you? Anyway, so
Oh my God.
And he was like, you really want to do this here? Do you really want to do this here? Never mind.
You really want to have this argument in the lounge room, Jackson? I'm like, well, it's going to happen somewhere, Adam. And
I hope this was on mic. And there was, like, a third random player that's sitting there going, like,
I was about to do a quest, but I'm waiting to hear this.
I just wanted to kill some super
mutants. Oh, there's nothing better than jumping into an online game and hearing an argument happening. I was playing Red Dead Online, and I heard, it was clearly like a, look, I don't know, I don't want to judge, but he sounded like a hillbilly, like a cartoon hillbilly, sort of.
Yes.
He was clearly playing it, and then a lady is coming in and complaining about her sister, and he did not care, but he was giving her, like, the most basic responses, and she was getting so angry with him, and it was just so funny to watch him play.
That's awesome.
And know he was getting yelled at. Oh, phenomenal. Anyway, so this area, I go in, there's all these high-level enemies, right? And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to defeat them. But then I found out that the manor has, like, a robot security force. And they came out in droves and they started attacking all these high-level enemies. And I was like, that's really cool. Like, I can just let them take care of it. It was not strategy, but it felt like a bit of strategy where I'm like, if I just make it chase me into here, they solve my problem for me.
Yeah.
Which they did, but I'm like, oh, but I want the experience of killing it. So I tried to shoot it. I shot one of the robots and then every robot was hostile on me.
Oh, man.
But forever. So I can't go back to that area. It's just locked off for me until I guess I reach a high level. I don't know. That was kind of annoying. It's not really a problem with Adam or Fallout 76.
Again, you're not reviewing Adam.
The problem actually at this point is maybe with me and the way I play.
Man, that's gross.
No, I don't know about that, Jack.
This whole thing, at first I reviewed the game, then I reviewed Adam, now I'm going internal and reviewing myself. I don't know. I wish that there had been something added by playing Fallout 76 with other people.
Did you say you wish there was something Adam?
I wish there had been something Adam. Added. But because it was just, I don't know, it didn't change anything. It didn't. Yeah. There wasn't anything I could do with them. Even if you build a house, you're just like, hey,
do you get to build a house together? Or is it I have built a house, come and chill in my virtual lounge room?
Yeah, it's kind of just like this is my camp. You and like you're the only one that really gets to change it or anything.
It's the kind of thing where you can have people sit in your house with you and be like, it's cool, we're pretending to be in this house.
Yeah.
I have enough of that in my real life.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I don't know what I would have added. I don't know what I would have chucked in to make it fun to play with other players, but
can you build a house together? Sorry, I'm stuck on this house building sim, but can you build a house together? Like if you start building on like the right side, they build on the left side, you build together like a bitty mini mansion.
It wouldn't connect. It would be more like we build houses next to each other.
Yeah, because your camps can't overlap, and also your camp can be attacked while you're online. It disappears when you go away.
Yeah.
And if someone builds in the same place as you, you just get your camp back, and like, because you've got blueprints, you can put it somewhere else. I liked that, but that was before I started actually playing and finding it to be awful.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, like, literally all I wanted was to be able to build I just wanted to fill my house with basketball rings. And it's like, hell go find the blueprint. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's not practical. Just let me build a basketball ring. Just wanted everyone to know that it was mine. So I just put pictures of ships all over the walls. Told people they were pictures of my ex-wives.
It truly does seem like a garbage game. Yeah. Like I can't picture any changes to the gameplay loop or like to things you're working towards to make this enjoyable. Because it kind of seems like it's just trying to be much worse Destiny. Because Destiny, for all its faults, has like is made by the makers of Halo and it's a fun shooter.
Yeah.
And in this, it's like, oh, it's made by Bethesda, so the game is bad to play and also so are the people who you play with.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, there was a dude that I started playing with that was really fun, but he was kind of like, it was interesting because we were talking about how, oh yeah, it's not that bad. It's like kind of nice to like play with people.
This is on launch day.
Yeah, I know. And then a little bit later on, I was like, oh, it's kind of cool. Like, I've only been killed by one butthole so far. Mm. And, like, everyone else that I've run into was really nice and nobody has been, you know, using awful language.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's good.
He was like, yeah, I used to play this online thing where people would say the N-word a lot. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And he was like, yeah, they're a bunch of R-word. And I was cool.
Great. Perfect.
Might be good internet, but it's still internet.
Yeah.
Also, like the other players, like I didn't even get anyone talking to me, slur or not. I'm not saying that I would have liked the slur. Yeah. I'm so lonely if someone had thrown something at me. Human contact. But like people just ignored me and I ignored them. It was just...
And the last like online game that I have played was GTA 5.
Yeah.
And I made my like female character because I was like, I want to make a waspy woman that is like, I'm going to dabble in crime.
Yeah,
nice. So I called her Astrid, made her blonde and like, real short hair and very waspy. And then I got into a game and then, because I didn't have a mic or everything, the two people that I joined with were just extremely, I experienced sexism. It was weird. It was aimed at me, a white man.
How do you like it?
I didn't at all.
You forgot to leave the cheat code on for one game.
And like I've just never gone back because the experience was just like, this is just awful. People are awful. I don't like this at all.
I remember when I used to play World of Warcraft, there was like a small, I wouldn't say lucrative, but definitely a cottage industry of people who would strip their player character of all armor and then just dance and leave the character there and people would just send them gold and then just sit down and watch them dance.
That's something awesome.
And then clearly after some dark ritual was complete, wander off and wipe themselves down and complete a quest.
Yeah. Always your night elves or your blood elves. It was never dwarves.
Always night elves.
I should be dwarves. Dwarves would rule. No, my brother used to do that in RuneScape. So he had a female friend who didn't play RuneScape, but they would basically pull a grift where they would go in with a female like avatar, do the dance, but then I think they would lure the person into the PvP area with the dance, and then two other guys would come out of the bushes and rob them.
Oh my god, you made a Red Dead Redemption encounter.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. That's what they would do that for hours and just like rack up the gold and buy all of the rare items. Yeah. Oh, That's thinking. That's what that is. That's
I mean,
that's
it's
lateral
sad,
thinking.
But also, yes.
So, yeah, look, Fallout 76 is no better with friends than without.
Yeah, I gave up and started my no-kill run in Skyrim.
Yeah, okay. That's a much better idea. Here's what... Okay, if you're thinking about playing Fallout 76, here's what you're going to do instead. Go online and search Skyrim Together. That's a mod coming out that's basically Fallout 76 for Skyrim. It's being made by dedicated modders. It's probably going to come out in 2019. Get on it. It's really close to completion. Everything that you want in something like this is in the game. It looks great. So no thumbs out of five for Fallout 76 online, but a potential five thumbs out of five for...
And you got to go to the doctor for real, dude.
Yeah, if you got five thumbs, but so many thumbs up.
Many. Like, speaking of Fallout 76, do you guys see the trailer for The Outer Worlds?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I didn't.
No. It's by the people who made Fallout New Vegas, and it's like a brand new kind of role-playing game by them. Kind of just looks like they're like, oh man, Fallout 76 was garbage. Let's release a good game.
Fallout does seem like it's a franchise that's truly gone off the rails in terms of like it's tried to maintain its kind of savvy political stuff, but now it's just a game about how the 50s were good.
It also annoys me with Fallout 76, and it's such a nitpicky thing, and it's the last thing I'll say on it, is that the songs are not... Why is West Virginia Mountain Mama? What's that song called?
Yeah, why is Mountain
Sweet
Mama
Home West Virginia? What's that song?
Sweet Mountain Mama Virginia. What's she doing over there?
Pull the
teeth and corn.
Rat gonna go up the mountain and suck the milk out of the top.
Every time that song comes on, I'm like, shut up. That's not right.
But like, they haven't changed the songs from Fallout 3.
Yeah.
Where I remember going insane because I heard only the same songs over and over and over.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
no
that
thumbs.
Sounds exciting. I am looking forward to The Outer Worlds, though.
Oh, yeah, no, that looks like
going
fun.
And watching that trailer.
Play Skyrim together and watch the trailer for The Outer Worlds.
Yes.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right. Well,
have you been playing? Yeah,
I've been playing a game. I'm trying to pronounce this correctly because I feel like I just won't.
Skyrim?
Skyrim.
Super Mario?
The Foul Out?
Fallout 76. Oh.
Okay.
Super Mario.
Yeah. Again, all these words. I just.
Universe.
Close the tab.
Good.
Like, where is it?
By being bad enough podcasters, we've turned you into one of us.
Yeah, we're the bad banana that turned you like us. Look at all these black spots.
So I've been playing a game called Marinian Tavern Story, Patty and the Hungry God.
Oh my god.
For the Switch.
All right, champ.
Hell so, yeah, man.
So it's sort of... like your review of what was that game where like you really enjoyed the concept but
anime
just dragged it down?
Nefarious. Yeah.
So like Nefarious, really enjoyed the concept of this, but oh my, did anime just drag this down? So it's an RPG kind of set in that sort of same view style as like the original Zeldas or like Chrono Trigger or like what's the Farm Boy one? Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Those kind of like perspectives where you're doing stuff. And I love the story. I love this concept where it's like you start off as you're going to the manor of like the mayor and you're making this amazing sit down meal. But then he's like the bank manager comes up and is just like, you're poor as hell. Get out and you owe us money. By the way, your dad's chuffed off. We don't know where he is. He's going to like go off and become some kind of super chef.
Okay.
And what? Then you're like, what is going on? Then you find out that your younger brother, due to some reason,
sure.
like, filled around with a statue and has like
what?
Pleased or angered, I'm not sure which, a poverty god.
Okay.
Who's just like, I've now attached to the younger brother, so now you're just poor. And so you're like destitute. And this hunger god is just like, his poverty god is like, yep, I'm attached to you now. And so then you play, I think her name is Patty.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, that's great. Well, I guess I have to do something now. And there's like, well, there's this rundown tavern. You could go there. And then the poverty god's like, well, I mean, I guess if you become successful, I'll go, but I hope you don't.
This is a very roundabout way to make you be a bartender.
Yeah.
And then that's the story.
Is it just a tavern sim?
Sort of. But it combines sort of turn-based fighting because you go and sort of you find items and kill monsters for ingredients, which then you create a menu. And so you cook and create a menu, and then you have to then sell that at the tavern. And so it is like a tavern sim with fighting involved,
gosh.
Which I'm a fan of.
So it's just like a tavern sim that just makes you sit through a solid 45 minutes of an anime that then you can comfortably forget?
Yeah. That's what I've sort of done.
Oh, that is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Like the intro, because it is like about a half an hour, just like, okay, let's get to the premise. Oh, my God. And like the writing is phenomenal. It was just phenomenal. It's just one of those things where you're like, oh, who wrote this?
Oh,
did someone
God.
Just throw words at a dictionary?
No, that's the last place you want them.
Yeah, no.
So wait, what's it called again?
It's called Marnian Tavern Story, yeah. Patty and the Hungry God.
Can we get that one more time?
Marnian Tavern Story, Patty and the Hungry God.
Mario's tapping glory.
Marby's
Patty's
Tavern
Hungry
Storm.
Gob. Yep. Is that it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
For the speech.
Tom, repeat. What was it called?
Oh, okay. Marnie and the Tavern. Marnie's Tavern Story, Patty and the Hungry God. Okay, now, Jackson, what do you think?
Marnie's Tavern Story.
Yeah.
Patty. And the Hungry God? Is it Paddy?
Patty.
Although
Paddy would be kind of nice if you get this kind of like an Irish bar.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I was imagining Paddy, and then I thought you were going to be like, if they become a fry cook instead of a tavern owner.
Oh, much better.
Yeah.
Paddy Tavern Quest killed them. Sword Marnie.
It sounds, what I hate about, no, here's going to be my real question. So.
Yes.
Are there any moments in the game that are just like completely out of the blue and completely throw like the tone of the game? Like, because I'm remembering in Nefarious, one of the things that frustrated me is that it's like funnish game, weird romance game show section.
Ah, yeah.
Funnish game. So is there stuff like that?
Like, I'm not like all the way through. I'm still kind of like learning how to play this game.
Yeah.
I've opened up a veggie patch, which I can either farm myself or pay a lad to farm for me.
Okay.
Guess which one I'm doing.
You're paying the...
Damn right.
What the go? It's...
But there is like beginnings of like, oh, I see where this is going, where it's like a garbage anime romance story happening, brewing in the background,
of course.
The broody son of the mayor might have a thing for me, maybe, or I want to hook them up, like him up with the shopkeep owner.
Man, the first time an anime game hits you with an ellipsis, in the bin. The second there's a meaningful silence and there's a little unmoving sprite of someone in the game with their eyes just looking slightly off screen and down. Mm. Oh, chuck it away. Hurl it far away. This is the most emotion I've felt all year.
Yeah.
But for those who do not like turn-based combat, like, say, Jackson, I know, you hate it.
Yeah.
There is a great thing where you can just auto have it going, so you can, like, enter
See,
the battle,
that's cool,
and you can be like, whatever, I'm not playing this
but
game.
But then I would be like...
I'm watching someone play the game.
Why do I have this?
Yeah, and so I think it's kind of... realize that not everyone likes that kind of, I guess,
that's
the grind.
That's so weird to me, though, because that's like... It's like, oh, hey, here's like Halo 3, but it's Halo 3 where you can press a button and it'll just auto-complete and you won't play
the game.
There is
like a function where you can, like, if you get like a certain number, if you find like a ticket or something, you can use that. So it's almost like you went through this section and you gathered all the ingredients and fought the monsters, but you don't have to do it.
It kind of makes me think of when you're binging a show and Netflix is like, are you still there? And you're like, ah, the game portion. Yes. I'm still watching.
It's like skip intro in bracket bit of game.
That's so funny. That is like a very slow quick time event to reward you with another 4 hours of charm.
Need to find out, is Cole evil?
Resting yourself from the back of the couch, the hole you've sunk into.
The one sit up of the day.
Oh, God. Play good, yeah. Harden this core.
I always find that it's not so much a sit up, it's like a flail with my hand. There it is. Go. Okay.
I gotta build up my remote calluses.
So I can't find the remote. I guess I'll just sleep.
Please, someone hand me my calibration glove. One of the like selling points of this game is that should you choose, it will play itself and you don't have to engage with it.
I like that it's like, hey, it's turn-based strategy, but don't worry. You don't have to play the game.
Yes.
You can choose to not.
Yes. Yeah, I can also, I have a much cheaper way to not play the game.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Hey, run us through that.
Okay, let me talk you through it. It's what I'm doing now, but more of it, is not buying the game.
That said, I do actually like the driving force of going out and like fighting monsters and that kind of stuff, because you are collecting ingredients to like make a delicious dish out of.
Yeah, that's
which
nice.
Which is as opposed to, say, like a Final Fantasy, where it's like, I just hate rats.
I fight things for no reason. My motives are hard.
I need to level up. And that's about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go kill 60 ladybugs.
Yeah.
Get a new hat.
Walking around in the grass and just pulverizing an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then when some little bug catcher twerp comes up to me, just
real Roman and real give it to him. And so I really like that aspect of
it. Yes, that's nice.
And like, you don't level up by fighting, you level up by eating.
Okay.
It's kind of nice.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
And, like, there is a lot of ingredients to collect and there's a lot of recipes to make, and it's very in depth to the point where it's almost too much.
Yeah.
Because it's like you need a lot of items, like you need a lot of ingredients, and you don't have, say, like a kettle or a stove or a toaster or a pan or a knife. And so you have to kind of buy those as you go up as well.
I've got to be honest, this sounds like two of my least favorite things in, like, role-playing games combined.
Yeah.
So I hate in a game where it's like, oh, hey, here's the basic game, but also we have this whole system where you can combine items for potions. Oh, I will never do that game. I will buy them or I'll just get sick. I don't care. That, and then the other thing is turn-based strategy. This sounds awful. I give this no thumbs.
All right, and you've been review cucked. Okay, right, that's your opinion now.
Okay, I guess there I go. Review cucked. Good. But I love the concept. I love the story hook, even though, like, if you kind of peer through the anime, I do love the idea of being cursed by a poverty god, so it's just like, well, I guess I'm going to have to try and get away from that.
Oh, that's, you like, kind that of idea.
Neat. I do, I love
that's
it.
That's something that you like.
Yeah.
Being cursed by a poverty, like, sort of in theory, or like...
Oh, yeah, God, no, I'm a creature of comfort.
Yeah,
Ever,
okay, good.
Ever give me, like one pillow? Mm-mm, not for me, no, I'm a two or nothing boy.
I imagine that you have a very large bed with also a very large, big, soft dog bed on top of it that you curl up in every night.
I mean, you're not wrong.
A floor somehow made out of, like, you know, like the, like a bear skin rug, but that's all the floor is.
You just curl up in its mouth every night. And
well,
just...
I do have a king size bed, and I do own very expensive pillows for my head that I need.
Sometimes I just sleep on a mattress. Like, I don't have a pillow. Sometimes I don't want a pillow.
You mean like when you're walking home and you see one on the street?
Good a place as any, baby. Wet but comfortable.
I have a question for you guys, if you don't mind. What is a small business that you would like to see in this kind of a video game? Because immediately the thing that jumps out to me is someone who audits adventuring parties and writes off their taxes. Demi, you have
dentist.
One? Absolutely.
Dentist is a great choice.
Mm-hmm. You have to replace the teeth of beat-em-up guys who've not only had to fight through legions of goons, but also have been eating apples and whole rotisserie chickens.
Yeah, but it's like it's like a fight, though. So I go into the mouth and it's like... I've got to like fight the teeth till they're healthy.
Yeah.
And when you start off, okay, all right. So
okay,
when,
through, I'm so
when
excited.
You're not an experienced dentist, all you can do is punch them in the mouth to get rid of the teeth.
Sure.
Right.
And then as you get more experience, you get like a drill and anesthetic.
Oh.
Are we just pitching Orc Dentist?
Yeah, this game sounds incredible.
Yes, you're absolutely. Just trying to patch up the belated chieftains who return to you from battle to make it so they can eat something, or at least that their teeth don't fracture.
Yes.
And then eventually you get up to the point where you're sending the chief into battle with a beautiful Hollywood smile.
Okay, and it's turn-based, which means that on their turn, they'll either like shit themselves or just spasm and hit you in the face or the scalpel.
Certainly.
Also, the mechanics are based on Surgery Simulator.
Yes.
I was imagining a game that's like Grave Robber.
Yeah.
So you are a filthy little golem kind of guy and you live in the dungeon and you wait till an adventurer.
Okay, so what about the game? My life.
you wait till the adventurer dies from like basic and then you have to quickly get in there and rob as much stuff from his body.
You're the reason that the bodies fade away.
Yeah, before he respawns.
That's good.
And then you gotta avoid like the vultures and other scavengers. Mm-hmm. Collect the stuff, sell it for better scavenging.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Better scavenging.
You become the ruler.
Just
of the
more
camp?
Hands.
Yeah,
more hands. I'll get more hands for a sec.
Sell money to so many
things
hands.
To stop them. Like you know, you get one of those big hooks they used to pull vaudeville acts off stage. You get a croupier's at a casino.
Big magnet.
Certainly, big magnet.
Yes.
See, I'd go with a stylist. I love the idea of like, you know, like those 90s or 80s beat 'em up kind of things to be like, yes, lots of chains, bright colors, and let's get that mohawk real green.
That does sound good.
How do you think you would be like scored on that? Would it be some kind of like online voting system, or do you think the game has inbuilt mechanics to tell whether you're like, to try?
Ooh, I do like that.
I think that it would work like the you have to, because as in the real world of styling, what you're aiming to please is the client, not the world.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
so the game would judge how well you'd judge what the client desired.
Mm. There's something fun to imagine, like the Street Fighter character or whatever coming in, but like their hair's grown out, their clothes have faded, and you have to guess what they used to look like.
Yeah. To or be it's like, kind of like they're like a minion of some sort of like different bosses. And like, you have to be like, which faction do they belong to?
Yeah. You have to talk to Guile into cutting his mullet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Can I really, just really, really quickly, because we were talking about style, can I very quickly review only the character creator for Soul Calibur?
Of course.
Six? Of course.
It's great. ten thumbs. But it is really good. We made an incredible character that we just called Mother, who had we figured out we could just hover a cube above her head
and we put
little goggles on him and gave him a little gun.
Yes.
And then we made this very vicious bald woman with like a frock on, and then we put a square on the frock so it looked like she's just wearing a picture of her son on her dress. And then put some glasses on that.
That's
she's incredible.
Phenomenal.
I'm in love with her as a person. Anyway, you can do a lot of very cool stuff on everybody already knows that, but I love it.
Yeah. Soul Calibur 6 is a very rewarding character creator because it's so constrictive. But when you pull something off, you feel like you've painted a masterpiece with connector pens.
Yeah. Oh, that's very, very good. I'm not good at the game at all except for with Voldo. It's the only character I ever learned how to play.
Voldo is a kind of knife pervert.
Yeah. All right. Yes, one of those crotch demons.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah.
So all in all, Manny and Tavern Story. Patty and the Hungry God. Two thumbs up and a knuck. Because like it's fine. But there's a lot of anime you got to wade through. Mm. And I love the concept, and I do want to keep playing it, but there's so much anime. And I, as a man who does not enjoy anime, it's painful sometimes to play.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I feel like anime is like fish.
Sure.
You know, like, good fish is fantastic.
Oh, I thought
but
you meant
unexpected.
The band.
Yeah, sure. Anime is exactly like
fish.
Anime is like fish. They all go for hundreds of hours. Completely inexplicable. There's always a 10-minute section where they jump on trampoline. This is a much better comparison.
I know, and it is a exactly like fish, because as soon as you bring it up, there's going to be someone that's like, no, let me talk to you about it for a second. I can change your mind.
No, you just haven't liked the right fish.
Yeah, that's true. Or for long enough.
But also, you get the reverse. Like, if you don't like fish, like, I don't like fish, and I would bring up how much I don't like fish if people are talking about fish.
Mm. I don't even want to know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Both. So yeah.
What have you been playing?
I have been playing a little game called Enter the Gungeon.
Okay.
I played it for ages on the laptop. Do you guys like that? And then Nintendo Switch. It is a roguelike, kind of a roguelite, I guess, with some unlockables. Mm. You will get a currency by exploring each floor. You can spend that currency on making items available for dropping in the gungeon. Mm-hmm. It is kind of a bullet hell, if you're familiar with that. So you are constantly under fire, and your goal is to fire back while also weaving a path through the bullets that are headed towards you. And I have never closed it with a peaceful mind.
Okay.
I have always stopped playing this game furious and knowing that it's entirely my fault. I love it. It's like I found myself really gravitating towards roguelike games where death is punishing and also frequent, and also you're completely to blame for it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but I think it's just because when they do make you happy, there is a slight like feeling of earnedness to
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you're like, I'm garbage, I'm terrible, yes, game, I'm so sorry, I even thought I was good at this. Yeah, I'm pathetic. I got a level.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm like, can see that I'm getting better. I would give it 4 thumbs.
Yeah,
I love this thing.
I know. It's the simplest rating system there ever was.
I'm going to get a friend in here, bus him on in, and get him to chuck his thumbs up for mine. That is a grand total of 4. Yeah, big fan. Big fan of Enter the Gungeon.
Is it? It's multiplayer, isn't it?
Yes, you can play multiplayer. I have not. Don't have any friends.
Damn.
You love being punished by games.
Yeah, I just really do.
I mean, I'm not just realizing this now, but it is really being concreted.
Yeah. I think the reason is that I find it quite depressing when games are clearly like that. When a game is a big button, and when you press the button, something happens. Mm. And there's no challenge to pressing the button, but when you press the button, aha, congratulations.
You did it.
And a lot of like AAA games have that feel for me. With things like fighting games, or you know, with these more roguelikes, or with, you know, Dark Souls or Bloodborne, I find it feels more like I'm playing a game and interacting with something, and I'm actually experiencing it rather than like, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of like people playing fights in, I don't know, Uncharted or whatever, where they just stand still.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns out that the enemy doesn't know what to do if you just stand still. Like, you think you've been fighting this incredible AI the entire time, and then it turns out that all they're doing is flanking and yelling. It's just there's someone somewhere yelling voice lines in a studio. They're being piped to you live. This is why the game is so expensive.
I know what you mean. Like, one of my favorite games ever is The Long Dark, and that's like a survival game. But it's just, I could not play it on like the easiest difficulty. I like playing it on the hardest difficulty, where if I'm lucky, I survive 3 days and the majority of my time is spent hunkered down in a cabin while a blizzard rages outside being like, how many peaches do I have left? that's the best
while the
for
wolf
me.
Just stalks.
Yeah, or I'm like, well, this one match I had that was my only source of light is gone out and I can hear wolves.
Yeah.
That is the best moment of gaming.
So much more interesting to me than any Spider-Man for PS4 story. Just that kind of emergent and also like a genuine fear.
Absolutely.
Again, nothing scarier than your
match going out and the two blinking eyes of a wolf being the only thing I can see in the darkness. And I'm like, I actually don't know where to run because I can't see. I'm just going to die.
Yeah.
Incredible. But then you're right. You feel earned. You can be down to like your condition's low. You've been attacked by a wolf. You're not wearing shoes because the wolf tore them up. And then like a a couple of minutes later, you're like, I'm warm in a cabin with a fire and I found new boots. And you're like, yeah, I survive another day.
Heck,
it's
yeah.
a great feeling.
It's for me, it's the difference between like a game and like, you know, there are so many different kinds of games now and it's all based on experience. All right, champ. Why don't you cram that chuckle back where it came from?
Okay. Sorry.
Anyway, there are lots of different games. I do sound like someone starting an E3 conference that is about to be widely criticized. Yeah.
Do go on, Todd.
And that's why we're excited to turn Fallout into two different terrible games.
Yeah.
It's both online, but still just as bad as you remember.
And only for your mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
Mm.
Big fan. Big fan of that. Big fan of playing punishing fighting games that I'm terrible at and that make me feel bad.
Yeah, I played a little bit of Enter the Gungeon, and I really love this, the art design as well, because everything is just bullets.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, you're fighting bullets who are holding guns, who fire bullets. Also, the game does have like a funny sense of humor. The guns that you pick up are, you know, some of them from pop culture. There's like the Dirty Harry gun. There's Judge Dredd's gun, and like which fires a different bullet as the final shot based on random chance, which are like the bullets from the movies.
That's awesome.
There's a gun that is a bullet that when you fire it, it fires shotguns, which themselves fire bullets.
Dude.
There's just an egg gun where the last egg you fire is a duck, and the duck flies towards an enemy and deals more damage.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Slap happy, beautiful game.
Yeah, and the chance that you'll see any of these is, you know, gets so much smaller as you get more stuff. And it's a very funny, beautiful, silly game that also is very difficult.
Yeah, the one thing I really love about it, and though it's a very small thing, but like your health, the hearts are just two bullet shells.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's very really smart in how all the design has just come together, and they've got like, no, we're making a set of bullets and guns and that kind of stuff, and it's very 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 cute.
That's everything nice. Is bullets. Even the bosses are bullets. Like the there's a second level boss called the Ammo Conda, which is just a giant snake made of bullets.
That's great.
Who eats bullets and fires bullets. There's like a first floor boss that is the Gatling Gull, who is a giant bird holding a minigun. Like it's joyously nonsensical.
Yeah. It just sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. What does that bring our episode's entire thumb score to, Zaman?
Let's see. So we had 0 for
Fallout 76 with friends.
We had 10 for the character creation of Soul Calibur.
Uh-huh. Only that portion.
2.5 for Mario Kevin and Kumar, Patty and the Hungry God,
Mario and this party, the tavern have fun,
and our 4 for Into the Gungeon. So all in all, 16 thumbs and a knuck.
Well, there you go. What a score!
What a beautiful score!
What a grossly inflated score! I also think that all of my Fallout 76 reviews have been getting lower since the loading screen, and that's great.
Yeah.
Well, the loading screen had so much potential.
Well, yeah, I didn't know what I was... I knew it wasn't going to be good. I didn't know it was going to be good.
Everyone, come in here. Look at this JPEG.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
Tom.
My fingers hurting.
Oh, it's me, the Thumb Krampus. I'm the Christmas video game.
Ew.
Demi.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.